6 months to find some place to live. And at that time, the housing market was really low. We didn't have a whole lot of prospects. We found a perfect house for us. We moved in February 14th. 15th, sorry. She knows. It was a traumatic day. We had no heat. It was raining and wet. So we moved in, and I had asked for some help from friends and family. And the only people who had been able to come and help were my bosses. They dropped everything and came and helped. They helped move us in. We got in. We've been happy there. We've proceeded to live there since then, and we've got at least 2 more years to live in this house. So pandemic started right at spring break with Haley was turning 11. We had to cancel her party. We still have never made up for it. We were going to take all of our friends to the movies. And then we started online school. She was in fourth grade at the time. Yeah. And she ended up really struggling those last few months because her teacher could only do half of the class at a time before the system crashed, and they only met one day a week for half an hour that week or that day. So she really struggled with social, with educational, with everything. Kayla, on the other hand, couldn't understand why she wasn't going to school. That was all she knew, was going to school. So when we moved online with her class, she didn't understand it. She didn't have any other kids in the Zoom meeting. It was her and a teacher, and she could care less. She would say hi and then leave. She'd get up and walk, and we had to be there with her saying, no, come on, let's do this. And we just gave up after a couple weeks with her because we couldn't, she wasn't understanding it. And during this time, I was still working full-time. I was operations supervisor for Washworld. We had 2 locations. And I had just taken on that position in October of 19. We struggled to get through all that. I tried to stay home as much as I could, but there wasn't a lot that I could do because I had to go in. I had staff who didn't want to go in because they were scared of the pandemic, but yet they wanted the hours. So at work, we ended up cutting our hours down. So that meant cutting staff hours. So when we had to cut staff hours, I made the decision to cut my hours and give those hours to my staff. My staff really appreciated it. I was there to support them. If they couldn't get in for some reason, I was there to help. John was also working full-time. We never missed any time due to the pandemic until October of 2021. And I'll get to that. But we struggled to find our new norm. We kept trying to keep everybody as stable as possible. We put schedules up on our wall. We did everything we could think of to keep Kayla happy, to keep Haley happy, to keep Grandma happy, because Grandma was at home with them all the time. And so we had to really find that fine balance of who's going to stay with the kids and who needs to get out. I was supposed to be taking one night a week off from being the boss and going and doing something for me. I was going to Weight Watchers meetings. I was going to go hang out with my friends afterwards. Nothing. I couldn't do it anymore. So I tried to find different avenues, having coffee in the park. And Kathy Shannon came to one of those, and I was blessed because I knew there were other people out there struggling just like I was. During that summer, we just kind of sort of had to keep to ourselves. We stayed at home a lot. We didn't do a whole lot. We didn't go see anybody. I started baking. I brought Amy bread. I gave Kurt and Diana some bread. But I couldn't eat any of the bread. I was making it all, but I couldn't taste it. I couldn't eat it. I was also for health issues with my thyroid. I have Hashimoto syndrome, and my body does not like wheat because of it. So I have cut out wheat. I have cut out everything. During August of 2020, I was working one day and I had horrible cramps in my stomach and ended up in the emergency room that night. I had a mass in my abdominal stomach and it had fingers wrapping around my appendix as well as reaching towards my ovaries. So I ended up having to have emergency surgery. They tried to drain what they thought was an abscess, turned into a mass. That mass, they found 3 spots of high-grade tumor or high-grade tissue that could be cancerous if they wouldn't have caught it. I still have to get scanned every year to make sure there's nothing else going on. But I was in the hospital by myself. They wouldn't let anybody come in. I was on strong painkillers and I couldn't even figure out how to work my phone. My boss had to take care of everything at work and he didn't know what was going on. He didn't know who was working and who wasn't, even though he had access to all that information. So after that, I spent 5 days in the hospital by myself. Police came and picked me up. And I spent the next 2 weeks at home doing absolutely nothing because I couldn't get up out of bed. I finally was able to get out, got up, went to work, had to put everything back together because, well, things fell apart. But I did have staff members who stepped up and took on some of the responsibilities. With that, my boss, Josh, decided that he was going to promote me. So I went to operations manager instead of operations supervisor. We promoted another gal to operations supervisor. So she was helping with the day-to-day stuff in Vancouver. And I was helping set up our 3rd laundromat in Portland. So we opened our 3rd laundromat in November of 2020. Is that right? Yes, November of 2020. And I started from scratch. I built everything up. They put the machines in. I had to learn how to do the equipment. I had to learn how to staff everything. And we had to play a fine balance between paid staff and unpaid us so that we could make money. We couldn't do our normal big grand opening where we have free laundry day for the community and everybody comes in. So we had to do a very slow opening, but I had to be there most of the time because Josh, he has a family. His wife was in healthcare. He has a son who's disabled as well. So he was trying to balance that and I was trying to balance everything as well. There were days that Haley and Michaela would come to work with me because grandma couldn't handle it all. And I couldn't take the day off. So we had to play with it. But my bosses were super understanding. They're like, yeah, bring your kids. If they have to come and help and sit in the back and do homework while you're out working, that's fine. If they have to come sit by you while you're working, then go for it. Make it work. So we did. And in the fall of 2020, we enrolled Haley in online school through Connections Academy. And we thought, teachers who teach online know how to do this online thing. So we thought. Her teacher had a class of 60 kids. She lived in Nevada, had only ever been to Oregon once in her life, and that was to bring her daughter to Vancouver for school. When Haley would get on the class, the daily classes that they had, she would have to, they'd turn off, get in the classroom, and then the teacher would say, turn off your mics, turn off your cameras, and listen. She couldn't do that. She's like, no, I can't sit there and listen. Because it's a teacher barking orders at people who are being disrespectful. Because they turn on their cameras, they turn on their microphones. She didn't like it. So we fought all through fifth grade with her. We had her tested for learning disabilities. We had lots of different things going, but the teacher was like, no, she's fine. She's perfect in class. I'm like, but do you know her? And she says, yeah, she's Haley from Portland. And we've talked a couple times. And I said, and I've told you every time we've talked, she struggles. She's behind in all of her classes. The first semester, they took out half of her lessons that she was supposed to work on to lighten the load. But then they expected her to make them all up the second semester. And she struggled. And we struggled right along with her because how can you make a child sit there and do homework what they didn't know what they were doing? I was teaching her math and she says, Mom, I know this. I did this last year. And so I finished her math lesson for her because she couldn't sit there and do it. But we talked about it. She knew all the material. She knew it all. She just couldn't focus on it. Michaela, on the other hand, they had her schedules pretty, it was a pretty set schedule. She'd work on writing, she'd work on math, she'd have circle time. Most days she could make it till about 9 o'clock, which was circle time. She'd get on and say hi to her teachers and then promptly fall asleep. That was it. So we got some workbooks for her, and she calls them her homework books. She still works on them to this day. She loves her homework books. If you ever find a homework book with an elephant on it, she'll sit there and do it all day long. So she struggled socially because she didn't know what to do and how to handle this all. She wanted to see her friends, and then when she'd get online, her friends wouldn't be online because they couldn't do it either. So they wanted us to do the big class online for her as well, but she didn't know any of those kids because they were trying to get her into a mainstream classroom, and she doesn't do the mainstream well. She really struggles with it, especially now that she's older and further behind than most of those kids are. But I will say, this last year that she's been in school, she's learned to count to 10 in Spanish. We're like, she just one day started counting, and I'm like, wait, what? And so, yeah, she can count to 10 in Spanish. So she has been growing quite a bit. Come last year, February, my boss, who I worked right alongside with day by day or day to day, made an announcement that he was moving his family to North Carolina. And he was promoting me. He promoted me to general manager of all three of his locations. And we were running a laundry service out of our Portland location where we would go pick up laundry, bring it back, process it, and take it back. I was having to do that all by myself. There were days that I would work 15-hour days and still not get everything done that I needed to, and have to get up and go in and get everything done by 9 o'clock so that I could take and deliver everything. I did have one staff who was really good about helping me with that. But she ended up contracting COVID. It weakened her heart. And she showed up on Wednesday for work. I could not get a hold of her for Thursday for her shift.
Can you hear better now?
And come to find out she had passed over the night. She was one of my best friends because I could talk to her about anything. And her and I really connected, and she wanted to come to Haley's volleyball game. I was going to invite her to the next volleyball game, which was Friday night, and she didn't make it. But she made bracelets for both of my girls, and they both wear them often. So I had to deal with replacing somebody who I lost, who was working almost full time. And I didn't have any options. I've been struggling with finding people to work, finding people to cover shifts. I have probably worked 60 to 80 hours a week the last year. And I have gotten to the point where I'm getting burned out with work, but I absolutely love my job. And I told my boss, he's been out a week, or one of the other owners stepped up when Josh left. And I talked to him, or all last week he was out of work, or he was out for his other job. And we had some things happening. We have tech stuff happening. We have door stuff happening. We have staffing issues. And I said, he said, we'll talk about this on Saturday. I said, no, we won't. I'm leaving for the weekend. I will be back Monday and we can talk. And he goes, oh, you need the break, huh? I said, yes. He said, okay, gotcha. So he said, go have fun. Don't worry about work. If anybody needs anything, I'll be around. So I am still very well supported at my work. I just wish I could find people to work who want to show up for jobs. I don't even care if you work a whole lot. Just show up. But through all this, I have been thankful that I've had my job. John has also been working full time all throughout the pandemic, because he is considered essential, because he's a janitor. Before COVID started, we had just switched him to a new neurologist because he was having episodes that we weren't sure about. The neurologist that we had said, oh, it's just your heart. Talk to your cardiologist. So we talked to our cardiologist and he said, no, it's not your heart. You have a pacemaker. It records everything that your heart's doing. You're fine. Your heart's fine. But we can give you some beta blockers to help. So we said, okay, we'll try that. We finally switched to a new neurologist. And I remember sitting there thinking, why are we waiting? Why do we have to sit here and wait? The doctor was half an hour late to us, and had been sitting in the exam room. He walks in. And his first words were, I apologized for keeping you waiting. I was reading his last EEG for myself. And I found that he has had more seizures than what the previous doctor had said. And I described one of John's seizures to the doctor. And he said, that is a focal seizure. That is full-on seizure. And I was finally grateful for that doctor because of the fact that he said, no, you are right. He is having seizures, but nobody would believe me. So through this, we have been working on med changes with him. We have been working diligently on trying to get him a better quality of life. And finally, we got, or we spent December 25th, 2020 in the emergency room because John was so dizzy. He could not stand up. He could not open a Christmas present. He could not do anything. So I took him to the emergency room where he had a seizure in the emergency room. And the doctor didn't care. He's like, you need to see your neurologist. So we said, okay, let's see our neurologist. So we set up an appointment with him. And he said, okay, we're going to change meds. We're going to add a new med. We're going to try this. So we did. He is taking the equivalent dose of 2 adult males, what they would normally take of this medication, and he's still having breakthrough seizures. So the doctor finally said, let's try this medication. So he's now on a new medication called Xcorpi, and he is taking, again, almost double what he should be taking, and he is still having breakthrough seizures. So about 3 months ago, he had a seizure that lasted 8 minutes. It was a grand mal seizure that lasted 8 minutes. We ended up in the emergency room. He went by ambulance. I followed behind. And he does not remember any of it. He bit his tongue so hard that he had basically pierced his tongue with his own teeth. And it got infected because nobody cared to look at it when we were in the emergency room, because he didn't know to tell anybody because he didn't realize it hurt. So we have now had another EEG with him. The doctor is saying he's still having major, major seizures that we're not catching. So we have now decided, we have talked to a neurosurgeon, and we have decided that John is going to have some brain surgery in the next couple weeks. We don't know when. We just gave the okay for the insurance on last Monday, and they said it can take 14 days to get approved. So once it gets approved, we will be having brain surgery. We're going to do what they call deep brain stimulation. It has helped in patients with Parkinson's. And where the seizures are is in his focal area of the brain. So they said that this deep brain stimulation covers that whole area, and they have shown a 90% decrease in most seizure patients once we get this deep brain stimulation device in. So they go in, drill 2 holes into the brain, and then put the electrodes in the brain, and then put wires down the side, and then he'll have like an extra pacemaker. So he has a pacemaker here and a pacemaker here. The pacemaker for his heart, we have found out, has not been needed. Normally they say at the max you have 6 to 7 years with it. He has already gone 13 years with that pacemaker, and he has another 6 to 8 years left with it because the battery is not being used because he doesn't have a heart issue. And so we have gone, so I've gone back and looked. He's probably been having seizures since before Haley was born. One of them has caused a car accident. One of them has caused him to cut his hand with a power tool. He has had one where I wasn't even in the area. I was in Idaho, and he called me and said, "I don't feel right." I said, "Okay, call Kay Kuntz," who was the nurse who we went to church with up there, up in Everett, and meet her and see what she says. And she said, "Call the ambulance. I'll meet you at the hospital." She found a gash on his back, and she asked him about it. And he says, "I don't know. It doesn't hurt. Whatever." I get home a couple weeks later. There's blood smeared all over our bathroom. And so we think he had a seizure then, and it could have been a whole lot worse than it was. But through all this, God has had his hand. He has provided what we needed. We have a house with 4 bedrooms, and we have plenty of space so that John and I can walk away when we need to. The girls can walk away. Haley has her own room. Kayla's downstairs with me and John in our bedroom so that we can keep an eye on, or so that I can keep an eye on her and John when they're sleeping, because that's when their seizures are coming, is when they're sleeping. John is scared about his surgery because he's afraid that it's going to cause him to lose his job. Everyone has told him those feelings are validated, but it's not going to happen. Because if he does get fired, they're looking at a lawsuit. The union already knows about it. The union has said, "No, we're going to take care of you. We're going to make you get through this." So he's still worried about doing his seizure or doing the surgery. But I said, "It's either this or you're going to be gone within the next few months, because these seizures are worse than what we're realizing. And if I'm not with you 24/7, since I'm working, I don't know when you're having seizures. I don't know if you're having seizures at work." So we're really trying to help him realize that this is where we need to go. He doesn't remember it if you talk to him. His memory is so bad right now. He can hardly remember who's who. He wants to come to church, but every time he does, he has seizures. And he gets frustrated with himself because he doesn't remember what anybody's talking about. He'll say one thing, and then 10 minutes later, he's like, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm doing what you asked me to do. I never asked you to do that." So I am supporting him to the best of my ability. I am supporting work to the best of my ability. And God has been there every step of the way. He's given me what I need to get through day to day. I am working on getting it so that I take one day a week off to where I'm not doing anything for anybody except for myself. I had been doing that before pandemic, but pandemic kind of put a squish on that. I was on a weight loss journey when pandemic started. I can't think of that. But with Haley's help and Haley's encouragement, we are working on meal prepping, making lunches ahead of time for us, or for me and her, and for Dad. And we're getting more vegetables in there. And we're trying to figure out things that work to keep Dad full, because John doesn't realize that he ate 10 minutes ago. He doesn't remember what he's done. And if we change something out of his norm, it throws a kink in it. If he doesn't have the right cereal for breakfast, he doesn't know where his coffee is. He's got his coffee maker set up, but if he has the wrong cereal, he can't get his coffee or his meds because it has to be so rigid and set in stone for him. So we are working on, we are hoping that this surgery can give him back a bit more peace of mind of who he is. He's worried about his personality changing. I'm like, that's okay if your personality changes because you'll be more enjoyable. Someday, he's very irritable. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand that if he can maybe get this, he can enjoy jokes. Enjoy life, not just be part of it. Yesterday, we took off. We went to the beach. He went down to the water when we were there, and he got sidetracked and didn't realize Kayla had waded out waist deep into the water. He didn't understand, he didn't realize it. Haley had to run in after her. So I will say that Haley has been a rock through this. We have also, with all of the issues with her schooling, we have enrolled her at Columbia. And that is, has been a godsend. It's been life-saving. She is wanting to participate. She is wanting to be involved in school stuff. She went out for volleyball last year. She went out for basketball. She went out for the drama. She's still struggled academically, but we think we're on the path to getting her where she needs to be. She has been, you okay with that? Okay. She has been diagnosed with ADD this summer. And once we have gotten her on meds, we have noticed a change in her attitude, a change in her. And she's coming up with some of the funniest ways of communicating what she's needing. And when she makes a mistake, yesterday we heard pickled cucumber all day long whenever something would happen in the car. Yeah. Yeah. So we are enjoying what we've got, and we are trying to make the best of what we have. John is still struggling. The second we got home, he took his meds and went to bed. He couldn't even help unload the car. He was so done in. And I think it was because he had had a couple seizures that he tried to hide from us. But he doesn't realize I see it in his face. I can see it in his eyes. And he's like, I didn't have a seizure. I said, yes, you did. I don't feel like I did. Well, you're tired, aren't you? Yes. Okay, then you probably had a seizure. And they're not big, like convulsive grandma seizures that we all think of. They're little ones where he starts chanting, where he'll start chanting this chant that he has. He will also just start profusely sweating for no reason. It can be 50 degrees outside and he's just pouring off sweat. He's just, he's done living miserably. And so he keeps saying, I want a doctor to fix this. I want a doctor to fix this. And I said, we're working on it. And we're working on getting you fixed because he doesn't like being party pooper. He doesn't like not being able to go to church because he's so tired. After sleeping a full night's sleep, he's normally in bed by 6. And up and out the door by 6 as well in the morning. He cannot function if he doesn't get his sleep. And even when he does, he still can't function. So I have been being strong for him. And I am still going to continue to be strong for my family. I never thought in a million years I would be in this position, working full time, having a career, and taking care of everybody at my house that I take care of. But you know, I would not change anything. Because of Michaela and her seizures, I knew what I was looking at with John. And I said, no, this is not where we're at. We are not having seizures. We are having seizures no matter what. I just had to find the right doctor to do it. And so we found Dr. Dempster. And he has been my cheerleader and saying, no, he's having seizures. You're right. Let's figure out something to help. Let's give him a better quality of life. It may not be quantity, but it will definitely be quality of life. Because these seizures, he doesn't remember. He really just does not remember. He could not remember I was speaking today. I had told him right after I told you, Kevin, that I would do my thing. I told John and he's like, okay, that's fine. I said, but I don't want you there because I can't do it. And I said, you can watch at home. And he still could not remember. We had to remind him and remind him and remind him that he was staying home today. But he was so tired, he couldn't function. He's like, nope, I'm going to bed. I'm like, okay, go to bed. I said, do you want to get on Zoom? No, I want to go to bed. I'm like, okay, go to bed. You can listen to this later. So that's about what we've been dealing with in our house. That doesn't even cover Carice and Dave, but that's not my story to share.
Well, thanks, Laura. One of the lines that you mentioned really stood out to me when you said, we want to enjoy life, not just be part of it, mm-hmm. and striving to get to that space of flourishing. I'm also struck by the fact that when the pandemic hit and you lost for a time your one night a week to yourself, job became more intense, school mm-hmm. became more difficult.